Welcome to this BIOS podcast, and thank you for taking the time to download it. I'm Christian Harris, editor of BIOS magazine. Today we have an interesting article kindly supplied by Symantec dealing with online fraud. Vincent Weaver from Symantec Security Response describes the various avenues used by attackers to commit online fraud. Before we start with the podcast, I'd just like to thank Ipswitch for sponsoring BIOS podcasts. Ipswitch is the leader in messaging, network management and data management software for small and medium businesses. Please visit ipswitch.com, that's ipswitch.com, to download full function trial versions of all the company's software. Ipswitch software just works for small and medium enterprises in over 50 countries worldwide.
I'd like to introduce Vincent Weaver with internet security leader Symantec. Welcome, Vincent.
Thank you very much.
Vincent, what is your role at Symantec?
My role is as Senior Director of Symantec Security Response. This is an organization which is dedicated towards research, analysis, and providing security protection for enterprise and consumer customers for the latest types of internet security threats.
Vincent, can you tell me a little bit about cybercrime and what people need to do to protect themselves online with activity like this?
The most important thing to remember about cybercrime is it doesn't occur during a single activity. For example, when we go online to our bank accounts. Cybercrime is something that occurs at any time when we're online. For example, a keyboard logger or password stealer could be placed in our machine, and it in turn is just simply watching out for critical information to send to a third party. So the most important piece of advice is to protect your machine and your system and your assets at all times. What that means is make sure you've got up-to-date security protection. Make sure you're keeping your password set up and maintained at all stages. Making sure you're watching out for a suspicious download onto your machines. And be very careful of the type of sites and types of programs you're downloading to your machine so that you're not exposed and something is not sitting there silently listening for critical information.
I understand that consumers have adopted a false sense of security in their online activities. Why is that?
Well, in general, I think we haven't seen the same amount of highly visible global type pandemic attacks that we've been talking about for the last couple of years. So we look at Netscape, MyDoom, Beagle, Blaster, all the type of threats that we know about, we see in CNN, we see in various news organizations. If we look at this year, we've seen a very significant drop off in those very public events. What we have seen occur has been a significant rise in the overall threat volume. And I think the absence of seeing these on the daily news channels has caused a false sense of security in many people. However, as we watch our activities on the internet, as we see more and more of us using online banking, as we see more and more of us doing online shopping, our overall risk posture is increasing unless we take control of our security protection through the use of antivirus, firewall, deployment of security patches, use of password protection, as well as setting and maintaining overall policy protection on our own machines.
Vincent, can you tell me a little bit about what role wireless devices are now playing as they gain popularity and what people should be aware of from a security standpoint?
Well, there's a number of things that consumers need to be aware of with wireless or smart devices. As we're using more and more of the smartphones and their functionality, we're storing more personal information, information which includes PIN numbers, password numbers, as well as very personal photographs that we're storing on these devices. So as a user, you need to be careful of that and make sure you're not using passwords which are easy to guess, making sure that if your cell phone was lost, that you're not going to be compromised beyond simply the loss of the cell phone itself. So best advice would be, if something is very valuable to you, make sure that you've got to protect it. Make sure that you're using a password which is not easy to guess, for example, on a public website which you're using to store or hold these information. Look out and get some security software for your smartphone, antivirus, firewall, or some of the examples of the type of security software which is available for these type of phones today. And most importantly, make sure the data contained on these phones that should it be discovered or found is not going to compromise your overall security. So if you do store passwords on there, make sure that you keep them in a way that's hidden and change them if you do believe a compromise has occurred.
As instant messaging continues to gain popularity, are there any security concerns that consumers should be aware of?
Well, instant messaging is a lot like email in the fact that you can get files sent to you, people can look at your address, people can eavesdrop on the conversations that are going over instant messaging. So if something is truly private to you and to another person, remember that it's possible for man-in-the-middle attacks, it's possible for someone to try and eavesdrop on those conversations. As we're looking at instant messaging, the type of things we're seeing today are viruses and worms which are using instant messaging for command and control. We see the ability for mass mailing to occur using instant messaging, file attachments, clicked instant messaging. We see social engineering attacks like phishing fraud attacks where they're sending you an email hoping you're going to click on the URL or the message link and then in turn download malicious software. So we see many examples of the type of threats that we've seen previously in email.
Are users of instant messaging more likely to click or open an attachment or trust something via instant message versus email or other applications?
I think in general, we think people are more trusting in instant messaging. Part of it is, of course, we've got our buddy list or equivalent of where we believe it's in a very closed world. But it's possible for third parties to try and guess or try to find out what our buddy lists are. So, for example, if someone has compromised another person's machine, they can find from that machine the instant messaging addresses, much like many of the viruses in the past have tried to harvest email addresses from compromised machines and in turn send messages to you pretending to come from your buddy or somewhere else. Be very careful at the type of messages that you're sending in over instant messaging. And again, if something is business confidential or very personal to you, you may be very careful about using instant messaging or another source of information about passing that over.
While you're on the subject of best practices for consumers, what else should consumers be aware of?
The most important thing for consumers today is that many of these programs are going to be found as they're doing their regular surfacing of the internet. Unlike in the past, we would say about watching out for emails and don't click on the attachments, now we're saying be very careful of any emails coming in. For example, phishing attacks very commonly will try to send you a message. If you click on the URL, which is a link to the website, then potentially it can download malicious material. If, for example, you think something has come from your bank and you're not quite sure, type in the name of the bank. For example, www.nameofyourbank.com is far safer than simply clicking on a link that may be sent by a malicious attacker. In addition to that, everything we've talked about in terms of best practices, keeping and maintaining antivirus software up to date, making sure you've got a personal firewall installed and configured for your machine, making sure you're using password protection for your system, being very careful of programs such as peer-to-peer music sharing programs, because a lot of shady programs or security risks can come down through those channels. Making sure you're using protection on each and every machine you have, not just on the main family computer, but on every machine, particularly if you've got a laptop that may be moving around. Being very careful as you're surfing in hotspots and other areas that attackers may be targeting you or your personal information.
If you were to take all these best practices that you just shared with us and distill them into just some quick bullets, what would you say are the top five things that consumers should do?
The number one thing that any consumer should do is make sure you've got security protection, which includes antivirus and firewall protection. Make sure you're setting and maintaining passwords onto your machine. Making sure that you're watching out for suspicious attachments or links that are coming in through email. Making sure you're very careful as to where you're browsing on the internet. Making sure that you're savvy when it comes to programs you're downloading onto your machine, that you're not downloading suspicious programs or free software that really is not free, but it actually comes with a lot more materials onto us. And be skeptical of any new programs you're downloading. Read the user agreements. If they're unclear or unusable, then don't download those programs.
Is there anything else you'd want to add as far as the changing landscape or what consumers should be aware of?
Well, I think this is an example of where crime has really found the internet. And I think as a consumer, that while the crime may be increasing, we're talking about increasing for profit motivation by the attackers, you can do so much as an individual to protect yourself and lower your risk posture. So even if you may live in a high crime area, you can lock your doors, you can protect your windows, you can make sure your burglar alarm is on. You can do so much to make sure that you are not becoming a victim of crime.
Thanks again to Symantec for providing these tips. I hope they help to keep you safe online. I'd also like to thank Ipswich again for sponsoring this BIOS podcast. If you enjoyed this podcast, please visit ipswich.com, that's ipswitch.com, to download full function trial versions of all the company's software. And remember, for all the latest IT news, reviews, and technology issues, please go to BIOS's website at www.biosmagazine.co.uk. I'm Chris Harris. Thanks for listening.